Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's a Utah Jazz TV analyst and also an 11-year NBA veteran. You can follow him on Twitter at mharpering15. It's Matt Harpering with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Matt, good morning, and thank you so much for your time. Game one tonight, Utah at Golden State. What's the overall health status of the Jazz heading into this series?
I think it's pretty good. I think that they've been injured pretty much, or at least one or two guys have been injured pretty much the entire year. But for the most part, I think Derek Favors has some questionable back issues, but I think everyone else is pretty healthy, and that's something the Jazz have not had for this year. They've had a lot of adversity this year. They've battled through it, and I think that's part of the reasons why they're playoff ready right now, because some of the guys that have come off the bench this year has had a lot of experience and got a lot of minutes this year. So now that they're healthy, everyone's ready to play.
Is Gordon Hayward bringing his own food out to the Bay Area so as to avoid any possible food poisoning, man?
It's funny because usually that stuff doesn't happen in the home state of where you're playing. You know, you usually hear about the food poisoning cases when you go on the road and players go on the road and that happens. But I don't know what he's doing. I'm assuming the Jazz are feeding the team for every meal.
Watching that Utah Jazz last series against the Clippers, seemed as if the Clippers went on the road and found a way to win and came back home. And just the way that Utah was able to dominate that game, how far is this team away from really being a championship-caliber team? What's the missing piece in your opinion?
I think experience. I think that the Jazz are a good team, and I think that they're going to give the Warriors a run for it here in this series. I do think that. I think that their style, the way they play, they're going to hopefully, if for the Jazz case, slow down the Warriors a little bit. And if you play against the set defense of the Jazz, you're going to struggle. They have tremendous length at every position, from 1 through 5, and they do a great job of helping one another out. And they're underrated at the wing positions defensively. And obviously they got Gobert inside. That's, you know, a defensive player of the year candidate. So they're very good defensively. Now, if you get them in transition and you get early in the shot clock shots and you're scoring in fast breaks, and, you know, you're going to have success against the Jazz. But if the Jazz are able to slow down the series a little bit and force you to play against their set D, meaning that they're probably making shots on the other end and you're taking the ball out of the basket, not getting rebounds, then that's going to bode well for the Jazz. So it's going to be interesting on how this series plays out, whether the Jazz can shoot a high percentage on the offensive end, which is going to help their defense and slow down the Warriors a little bit. But we all know when the Warriors get going how good they are.
Sure. And when you think about the Jazz, do they really believe, no pun intended, that they can really compete and really beat this team? Sort of like when I watch the Dubs, it's kind of like watching Floyd Mayweather. So many people think that they can get him, and just the combinations and their elusiveness. This team is pretty dominant. So what really gives them hope that they can compete actually on that level?
Well, first of all, they're NBA players. So it doesn't matter, you know, what kind of team. I think every NBA player has pride, and they think that they can beat the next NBA player. So I think fans look at it like, how do these, you know, teams have a chance? But as the player, if you're inside that 12-man group, every one of those guys believe that they can beat their opponent they're playing. It's just a matter of whether they go out and do it. Now, if you look at the Jazz, you look at what happened at the end of the year, I think the Jazz played Golden State at Golden State. It was one of the last three games of their year. I know Klay Thompson didn't play, but they beat Golden State pretty handily. And it's one of those that, you know, I was talking to some personnel with the Warriors. They weren't necessarily hoping that they would get the Jazz. You know, they know that this could be a tough series. They know the Jazz are a good team. It's not going to be a cakewalk by any means. I think it'll be a good series. I'm not saying the Jazz are going to win the series, but I do think it's going to be a lot closer than what people are saying in the
Sure.
national media right now.
Matt Harpring, Utah Jazz TV analyst, 11-year NBA veteran with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I'll get back to the series in just a moment, but I wanted your thoughts on this. Utah in general, the fan base, the organization, do they feel they're able to keep, they're going to be able to keep Gordon Hayward in the fold moving forward? A lot of speculation that he may want to join former college coach Brad Stevens in Boston.
Yeah, that's been some talk for some time. I think Gordon is pretty happy with Utah. I think Quinn Snyder and Gordon have a great relationship. I know Gordon and his family, from what we've heard and read and have listened to, they really enjoy Utah. The fan base there is incredible, as we all know. Obviously, I'm not privy to any insight there, so I don't know. You know, free agency comes and guys can do whatever they want. That's the beauty of the NBA. But I do think Gordon's had great years at Utah. I do think he's been part of the reason why they've had a resurgence in basketball over the last few years. Gordon's been through some trying times early in his career to now getting to the team that is a very good team. And he's the leader of that team. And he knows that when he comes back, he's going to have Gobert, who they signed to a $100 million deal, behind him. And he has some pretty good pieces. George Hill's a free agent. So, you know, it depends on who they can lock up in free agency. I think, you know, I'm assuming Gordon's going to talk to quite a few people that are already with the Jazz, and maybe some other free agents around. But I do know Gordon wants to win. And right now, if you look at the Jazz, where they are, 51 wins this year with a team that wasn't really healthy this entire year, that's a pretty good young nucleus. And if you go around the NBA, there's just a handful, not even a handful of teams that are as young and good as the Jazz and up and coming.
The Warriors have had some trouble at times in second quarters scoring with their bench unit. How do you think the Utah bench matches up with what Golden State will roll out, particularly in that second quarter when the subs come in for the first time?
Well, that's exactly where Utah has its advantage, is their bench and their depth. And I agree with you that the Warriors this year, their depth is not as good as it was last year. And I think if Utah can do what they did in the Clippers series, where Joe Johnson and Rodney Hood and some of these guys come in off the bench, Derek Favors, and they play well and they score and they kind of out-bench, for lack of better words, the other bench, they're going to have an advantage there. And that's a huge advantage. And we all know how good the starting five is for the Golden State Warriors are, for sure. But, I mean, the Jazz are a pretty deep team, and they got a good starting five themselves. They got tremendous length, but then their bench comes in, and they can go four or five deep off that bench and really hurt you. Joe Johnson had a tremendous series against the Clippers. I mean, he was the reason why the Jazz won that series, is his fourth quarter and how he played and how he produced and scored off the bench.
I couldn't agree with you more. Joe Johnson, the ageless wonder, was amazing. What is going to be Utah's counter when the Warriors decide to go small ball to keep Gobert off the court?
You know, I a lot of people try to do that against the Jazz. And what happens is you put Joe Johnson in the four and you keep Gobert in. Gobert is really unique, and you'll see that in this series. You know, the Jazz don't get a lot of national attention, but this guy can move his feet. And he's very athletic and agile for his size. So the Jazz have gotten by playing small and leaving Gobert in at the five. He's a disruptor, and I think he was first or second in the NBA in screen assists on offense. He's constantly screening and rolling to the basket. He ended up being, you know, a great field goal percentage shooter because he rolls so hard to the basket, and he's so hard to take off the offensive board. So on one end, you said, yeah, well, how are they going to guard, or how's the Jazz going to guard the small Warrior group, but how are the Warriors going to guard and keep Gobert off the glass? I mean, so you kind of edge it both ways there. So just like every series, you figure it out after game one. The coaches kind of battle and they make adjustments. You say, okay, this matchup goes well with this one. But, you know, when teams have thrown small lineups at the Jazz this year, Gobert's been able to stay in the ball game at the five.
Matt Harpring, Utah Jazz TV analyst and 11-year NBA vet. Follow him on Twitter at mharpring15 with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Matt, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Enjoy the series, and hopefully we can catch up again in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me on, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for all well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.